you don't know it by now, I can be a bit controversial in how I handle my business and in how I coach other designers about their business. Running a design firm, or any small business for that matter, is not a one-size-fits-all wrapped up in a pretty bow. It's about building the framework from the ground up and having a solid foundation that will make it recession-proof. The Design Paradigm is a comprehensive and powerful coaching program for interior designers wanting a challenge and looking to grow. It has epic twists and turns in the way you might think about business. If you are a little rebellious in thought, want to win it, avoid groupthink, don't care what others are doing, and want a sustainable business over the long haul that makes you stand out, then the Design Paradigm is the right place for you. We will be a partner in reimagining and refocusing your business from the ground up. Find out more at theinteriordesignparadigm.com. Pause and evaluate everything you are doing in your business. Detach yourself for a second and look dispassionately and put your analyzing hat on. I mean, really, you have to get out of your own body for a minute and look at it and look at what you're doing.
Welcome to the Damn Good Designer Podcast. Join hosts Cheryl and Liz, the visionary and integrator balancing all the moving parts of a full-service interior design firm. Get ready for a wild ride as they challenge the norms, challenge the industry, and challenge you with damn good truths about what success looks like today. Now your hosts.
Welcome everyone to the Damn Good Designer Podcast. We are really glad you are here. We're settling into our work week today, and I'm telling you, I was racing in here like a chicken with my head cut off, trying to get situated, hollering at Gabrielle, open the door, because my key doesn't work very well in our carriage house. So I was trying to get in here and get situated, and Liz and Stephanie and I were having a three-way call trying to figure out some other things, and it was just, it's like a day, you know?
It's a Monday.
It's definitely a Monday of all Mondays today, without a doubt. And then I get to go to the doctor later. Oh, fun. So anyway, we're settling into our work week, and I have been on this big roll about getting organized. This has nothing to do with the topic whatsoever. I just really wanted to say that I am, you know, thrilled that I have gotten such positive feedback from the team. Even Liz only had a day of being a little cantankerous about the new systems and that sort of thing. And then she turned around, and I think she might even say she liked it. And Libby said, Liz, and I don't know that you've read my notes here in the podcast thing, but she said even she was waiting for someone to put something in her open task list. I was like, Liz, you better get after
it. I dumped in it this morning, so she's in good shape now.
I know, now she's not going to like it anymore. But Gabrielle's taken on to it, and I think Miranda has too. And so anyway, and this is just all through our project management system, but I've like sort of devised this way of keeping it to where my ADD brain can focus on things all in one sort of, don't want to call it a dashboard because then that confuses other things, but it's sort of like all right there. And we've learned so much more about our system to be able to go back and forth to it. And this, I won't even tell you what it is because this is not an advertisement or anything. It's just me talking. Anybody who knows me knows what system I'm talking about. But anyway, I'm really excited about it and sent the link to the template to some of our TDP people, because that is a bonus with TDP, that if I figure something like this out, then I share it with you, even if it's not part of our deal. So that was good. But I don't know. I think it's been good. Don't you think, Liz?
Yeah, it is. I think it is helpful for us too, in just kind of keeping better tabs on priorities and helping people really like see through a lot of the slog, because we all get a lot of emails and there's a lot of different distractions that we each have in our responsibilities. Yeah. And like last year, we were all in this time blocking, you know, time tracking, really trying to get that
like
stuff
that.
Locked in.
So
it's, yeah.
Yeah. And you can do it like a time blocking. I mean, I haven't quite figured out how that's going to look yet, but I'm going to add that to it and try it and myself, you know. But I spent an inordinate amount of time while I was out sick trying to work on this to make it good for everybody. So I just am here to say that, yeah, it's, you know, it's the beginning of the year. You got to really get going and have all the things that you want to get organized and get all those processes together and all of that. And it makes you feel good. I felt like I was really, and Gabrielle said the same thing, because I feel like I'm really got more control over my day now. And I think that's really like key, is to be able to do that. But all of it is, when you have a team, you have to communicate all the time. And y'all, I'm just so over emails. I mean, seriously, if you send me an email, you better copy somebody else on the team, because I will likely not see it. I almost missed that Delta thing. I've talked about that. I've almost missed something with Cosentino. I mean, like, you know, I'm missing some good stuff here, you know? And I just cannot keep up with all of them. So anyway, but okay, so getting into the topic here, we are going to break open a big old coconut of crazy, because this topic is one of my top five things to rant about in the Small Business Think Big group. You know, we have to consider where we are as an industry. If we are so fearful of clients finding something out about the names of our vendors or comparison shopping or whatever, that we won't give them a storyboard or send them anything in an email, are you kidding me here? You know, we would be in big trouble if we never sent a client something in an email. I mean, it's just, I don't, it's an insanity thing. Like we're trying to hide things, or you can only come in and approve things this way or something. And y'all all know how I feel about those line item approvals. We don't do that either, you know? So we have to be able to send things to clients in some way or another. And they're going to see pictures of things, right?
Yeah, I can't, I don't even know how to really process this, because I can't imagine. I mean, again, I've only ever worked for us, but it's like, I can't imagine how we would do our job. And I also don't really understand all the hubbub behind it. So I'm excited about this conversation, because it doesn't really make sense to me. I don't think that there's anything wrong with sharing that information. I think that if you're running a good, upstanding operation, then, you know, it is what it is.
So, yeah. And I agree with you. And y'all, Liz is coming into this blind. We're going to, you know, meander through this topic without a lot of pre-discussion on it, because it just happened a while ago. It was in some other, I saw a post in some other, one of the random groups that I belong to. And the designer was talking about sending clients work in an email that has photos of the space they've been hired to design. You know, photos of the, not so much photos of the space, but storyboards and you know, things like that. And you know, and pictures of, you know, an item or, you know, whatever. Now, I think there's very distinct ways of presenting that and distinct ways of not doing it. So just sending them a random lamp or something is not something that I would ever do, unless it's a really great client, we know them, and it's at the end, we've had to reselect or something like that. But it's the idea of the post, though, was the designer was worried about the client sourcing the items on their own with reverse image searches. And the worst part about this whole thing is how many people said, no way, over my dead body and all that sort of thing, Liz. I mean, it was really, and remember, Liz doesn't ever go down the rabbit hole of Facebook. So she is like a Facebook virgin, and she has no idea like all the things that are there until I screenshot something and I send it to her, and I say, I just don't understand this. Like, why is somebody saying this or doing this or whatever? And but I see it all the time, and a lot of times it's newer designers that aren't really sure. But I think, based on the response, and I have no idea where I saw this, it was not in my own group, but I have no idea where I saw it, because it's been, you know, I don't know, a couple of months ago that I put this down and made some notes to talk about it. But it just was sort of slayed me. And I'm kind of tired of seeing that stuff, because I can't fathom a business, you know, where like, or a business class where they teach you to not send something by email because you're worried about someone reverse image searching. I mean, is that like listed? Is that a course that they teach in university? Like that's what you do? I mean, what sort of industry does one have to purposely try and hoodwink a client or a prospect? I mean, I understand, Liz, like kind of, I understand the rationale behind it, but if you're that worried about something like that, then I think there's something else going on. I mean, the answer is not subterfuge. You know, it's having a business model that eliminates these issues and hones in on the clients that will hire you for the value proposition you provide. I mean, and I don't mean to be rude here in these situations. I really don't. I'm trying to bring these things up so they're talked about more in a different arena, and also by people with a lot of experience in this field. And when I mean experience, I don't mean just that I've been around for a long time and I'm some old fart. I mean that I've actually run a going firm with employees, without team, with you know, millions of dollars of revenue over the years. So it's I think that this has to be talked about. I really do. And I just feel like this sleight of hand is sort of beneath us as an industry. And you know, my firm is not for everyone. And I don't have any problem letting someone know this either, if the client is presenting as someone who is a price shopper and not a value shopper, you know, a value person, someone who's looking for our value. If they're all about the price, Liz is going to cut them to the quick, you know, right off the bat. I mean, certainly people want to know what things cost, and I don't have a problem with that. But if they give us that indication that this is going to be what they're all about, then it's just, we're going to divert them to a different type of product that we sell that's more price driven. I'll send them down the street to the local furniture store or something, you know, and, right, and get that kind of stuff for free.
I just think that the whole idea of, I mean, we talk about this too, about how people get this perception that like you're going to get into their pocket somehow in this industry because, you know, design is something that is elevated. You know, it's not just your typical run of the mill shopping experience in a, you know, big box store. But the reality is that if we had to worry about every single part and piece of a project that we're specifying to someone and what they might find out about it online, that right there is signal, just like you said, you probably shouldn't be in business or you shouldn't be selling product if that's what you have to worry about. If you're not set up to be able to handle that, then that's the piece to address, not trying to kind of convolute the issue and sneak it in so that there's no way for people to be able to get the information they need to be able to make sound approvals and to really understand what's going on with their project.
There's a million and ten rooms out there with listing, you know, they can shop the look or shop this or show. I mean, it's not like, you know, this is not what they're buying, you know, and it's not the way. I mean, the idea that you have to jump through hoops or be afraid to tell clients who the vendor is, you know, that's another topic that came up recently. Should they ask, is all kinds of effed up. I mean, now a retailer, different story. I mean, you're not designing a specific home or space for someone who is paying you to do so. You're welcoming, you know, people into your shop where you're selling items already purchased. You know, it's a different animal entirely, but that's not what the value proposition is for an interior designer. So the fact that someone is worried about that, it tells me that their business is going into a direction that it doesn't need to be. And I know this is going to piss off a few people, you know, and I adore some of the people who might be trapped in this twilight zone mindset. I really do. But successful businesses do not operate on a basis of having to trick people. They just don't. Yes, you have to be careful about what you say or you know, what you might present out there in terms of, I'm not saying you just open, you know, your books up and let someone ride shotgun in your accounting department. That's not what I'm saying. Right. Any of that. Of course not. That's not what I mean. Worrying about somebody that enough that you would post it in a group to say, okay, I'm really concerned that this person is going to reverse image search these things and look for the pricing. So what if she does? What if they do? I mean, why are you dealing with a person like that? And even if they do that, you know, what are they going to find? I mean, aren't you pricing it competitively? Or, I mean, are you worried about that? I mean, it's just not something that I think is a good place to be. And I think it deflects from the real abilities to run a business in the way that you should be, you know, meaning learning about running a business in a business type of way. You know, and it also doesn't build relationships. It doesn't solve problems. Ensuring the client knows they're purchasing through us with a contractual agreement and all the rest. I mean, that's how we operate with this, you know, up front. These expectations must be well managed from the very first interaction, so this doesn't become a thing. And I maintain, if you are doing it right, then it really won't happen that way. I mean, we just don't have those kinds of issues.
I know. It's so built into, I think, how we interact. And again, you know, we like to operate in a way that makes the process for the client really fluid once they've hired us. So we're not going to wait to address issues like this that can be, you know, points of contention for some people or can be misunderstood if they've had a different experience in the past or if they don't understand until they've contracted with us. We want that stuff done up front, right in the beginning. I mean, there have many instances during a discovery call or during the consultation meeting where we talk about these things. And there's no reason not to. It's just like talking about budgets or your deliverables or anything else. You should be very clear on how it is that you are able to run your business, how it is that you're making your money. And there should be a very clear structure in place for you to be able to explain to a client, this is a win-win for you. The way that we have this structured makes sense. And if you're not there yet, kind of like we said, like maybe you need to take a step back a bit and figure out where it is that the holes are in your system.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And in our digital age, we know that reverse image searches and online shopping are realities. I mean, this is something that happens. But should this dictate how we run our business? Should fear lead us to avoid sharing our ideas, our designs with our clients, our you know, something exciting from market? I mean, what if they reverse image search that? I mean, we share, you know, pictures from market all day long with clients. I mean, it brings them into our world. It gets them excited about the whole thing. And that's the key element there. I think that we all know that there's going to be something, you know, less expensive or a different option or whatever, but that's not what we're doing here. That's not the kind of industry we're in. And I fear that this is something that has really taken over in some way, this sort of idea that people are so worried about so many things about, and it's the same with the vendor names, you know, not letting them know. Now, I mean, again, we, you know, our we don't go around and advertise everything in our shop, you know, what things are, because it's a shop, it's a retail store. But with clients, it's just not, we do private label some things for sure. We private label things that we get from different people that are not like something you can just go out and get. And absolutely, if the client, you know, has a friend or somebody that wants something, we're going to want them to refer them to us. I mean, there's no problem. I have no problem saying that to somebody. I really don't. But I think that the idea, though, that it becomes a fearful thing, or that someone is asking you a question, or that you're really with the image search, I think the thing there is, I'm just not sure how you get around that in some way, because if people are determined to figure out what something is, they're going to be there. But what kind of relationship, right, do you put you on an adversarial, you know, stance right off the bat? Mm-hmm. And is this the professional standard we want to set in this world of interior design? I mean, it's not in my world. It really isn't. And I guess this topic really does resonate with me. I mean, that fear of being shopped exists for some people. I do get that. I'm sure that it happens and all of that. But there's so much more to our services than just the products we select, and so much more that you deliver, that you have to be able to have that down. You have to be able to do it. And maybe that's the real fear there, is that people don't have that down, exactly what their secret sauce is, what their, you know, elevator pitch is, whatever you want to call it. Maybe that's the problem here. I mean, because we're all about creativity, expertise, creating unique spaces that reflect the client's personality and needs. It's a service. It's not a shopping list. But as long as you do things that make clients see you as the person holding a shopping list, okay, and not delivering a creative vision, you're going to be in the middle of these issues. These issues go away when you don't see yourself anymore with a shopping list in your hand either. And I right. think that what happens is that a lot of times people don't realize that some of the other things they're doing, we've talked about this in previous podcasts, like the whole packages thing and things like that. This is marketing optics, y'all. You have to trust me on this. You really do. Whether you agree with me or not about this subject, you have to agree that it is about the optics of it. And when it comes to building client relationships, trust is everything. If a client feels they can't even see what they're paying for, how can they trust us?
Right. And do you really want to be in, I mean, you know, for us, a lot of our projects are large scale. You may be working with a client for easily a year, you know, maybe more sometimes if it's new construction and you're doing all the furnishings. You know, do you really want to be in that type of position where you feel like there's this constant mm-hmm. threat for what they might find out? I just feel like the whole idea internally from our business perspective is, you know, we have to be savvy to the vendors that we work with. We have to be paying attention to, you know, what our pricing is like and how we engage with those vendors. But we know that going into it, we know what we're able to contribute to the client. And we understand that being able to present a full vision is going to get them where they need to go. That's why clients hire us. It has nothing to do with, oh, well, they can get me a sofa, so that's why I'm going to hire them. Being concerned about a sofa or a chair, if a client has to go to that type of minute detail to double check you, then there have got to be some bigger underlying concerns they have that's about right. what it is that you're doing, how that's you're right. charging for your services, how you're handling their project, just in general, in terms of your communication and client interactions. And those are the type of things that you can't, or at least I would think, you can't really reel back from once you're in a project. Once you're down that road, that sounds like, oh, that would be very, very stressful. I would not be happy having to deal with that all the time.
No, absolutely not. And I can tell you right now, if we have to worry about something as ridiculous as sending somebody that they might search in an email, I am peace out. I'm going to go sell the crazy right. coconuts to the tourists on the beach. I mean, the biggest problem this whole thing is that people think this is okay based on the, you know, 25 or 30 or whatever responses that I saw, and that this is a tactic, you know, and a solve for the problem you have of people shopping you. It's not. Can you even imagine another professional type of business refusing to give you a photo of something you're buying if you're buying it from whatever? I mean, I just can't even imagine that is the case. I really cannot. I mean, I don't get it. I really don't get it. And I ask you, of those of you who do this, would you do business with people that they have to, when they have to resort to those kinds of tactics? Would you really, you know, do business with somebody that is afraid of what you're going to find out? It's going to immediately put you on the defensive and on the, like, what else are they hiding? You know? And I don't think it's good.
And we have enough other stuff that we have to deal with on a day-to-day basis in terms of, you know, subcontractors and freight carriers and claims and all this other type of stuff that gets muddy and messy. It's like, we certainly don't need an extra, you know, thing on the list when it comes to all of this. But I think that when it comes to, you know, clients being able to understand how you operate and to understand the benefits, you know, we always talk about this kind of win-win and trying to make sure that clients understand the way things are structured so that they get a good feel for the fact that we've worked to figure out a system that's not only going to help them meet their goals, but that's going to make sure that along the way, all of the different details are addressed. Those are the type of things that I think hit people with a lot more value. That's where they're, you know, really honing in on finding someone to pull it together mm-hmm. and to really understand what is going to be involved in this whole design process. Once you position yourself in that place, I really don't think that when it boils down to what has to happen to get to that point becomes as important to people. I think that most of our clients, at least, don't have the time or the effort to go to that length to want to dig in on all that because they understand it's far beyond what they have the capacity for.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think also that there, you know, it's the, I think we deal with smart, intelligent people, people that don't have the time or the expertise to do what we do. But if you introduce some sort of, you know, distrust factor in some way, it's hard to recover from that. It really is. And along the same lines is what I was talking about a minute ago, divulging the vendor, you know, and we private label a ton of merchandise. That's what we do. I mean, it's just, that's fine. I mean, it's from wholesalers that don't have a place that you're not going to sell direct to consumer. And we're wholesaling it. I mean, retailing it, you know, selling to clients or people on the floor, you know, that walk in or whatever. But, you know, that's a different animal than something like Vanguard or Bernhardt or whatever. I mean, I like to use those names because they represent quality and they represent something that's good. And the same thing, even if it was a trade vendor, completely trade vendor, where it's, you know, it's that's you have to go to the trade, they have to go to ADAC or something for us, which we're not going to haul our butt 6 hours up there to do that very often. But sometimes we're buying those kinds of things. And then it's a different sort of situation in that because it's just I think the idea, though, is that, you know, it shocks me that somebody would not give a vendor name to a client when it's not even a custom creation. I mean, I can understand not giving out sub names or people, a craftsman, you know, that are creating something that you've designed and creating it from the ground up. I would protect that too. I mean, I think that's a given. But not to tell a client that a sofa's from Vanguard? I mean, what are you kidding me here? You know, and y'all, here's the thing. I just don't blame the client for asking. I really don't. And, you know, I think that it's a little bit of subterfuge and it's hard to keep that up. It's hard to really build a sustainable business that way. And I don't know of any business class that teaches this, you know, and that this is like, here is, you know, design 101 of how you, you know, keep a client happy and you don't do, I mean, it's just not, that's just not done in my world. And I don't think it's done anywhere else. You know, I really don't. I don't think there is any kind of business classes that talk about that. And I don't think it has anything to do with how you charge, whether you charge IMAP pricing, whether you're competitive. All I know is that we're competitive always. And so that takes away any of the issue. We're competitive and that's it, you know? And I don't care if Coach Susie Q says it's okay or whatever, you know, I don't care. I just don't think that that is the best way to run a business because it's not sustainable over time. You can private label, you can do what you need to do, but if a client wants to know who a vendor is, tell them. You cannot sustain your business this way. The client, in this other post that I read not long ago, Liz, the designer was rightly worried that there was the client's friends who simply wanted to go around her. And I get that. I mean, that part of it, I really understand. I empathize with that, but I just think that, you know, you're going to sit there and say, you know, oh, you can't know the name of this dresser or something when, you know, she might go to a bigger city and walk into a store and see it. I mean, how is someone going to feel with that? I mean, it's just not sustainable, but I understand that that was a problem. So how do you deal with that? You know, my response would be, hey, that one dresser or one table does not make the design work. You know, replicating it means nothing. It means nothing. Okay. It's just one piece. You know, I would want the sale too personally because, you know, I love sales and all that. So I would want my client to do that. But how about just simply telling the client the truth? hey, please send them my way. I would really appreciate that business. I'll help her in any way I can, you know, but also, you know, Mrs. Client, I hate the idea. Your friend might take what we created together for you and somehow borrow the ideas. If they're talking about getting a laundry list of everything in the room, which I don't think most people want to do, but you know, it's not going to work in their house exactly the same way anyways. All of this is sort of like a moot point to me, but just be honest with people is what I'm trying to say here. Just be honest with your client. I do not want to have a relationship with a client myself if I cannot be honest with them, if I cannot sit there and say to them, hey, you know what? If they think for a minute that we're not in business, then I don't even know what to say about that, because of course they know we're in business. So I don't have a problem saying to our client, we so appreciate any referrals. Send that person to us. Let us help that person if that's what they're wanting to look at. Now, this particular situation might have been completely different. There might have been other things going on. I don't really remember. But the idea here is, if it comes up, be honest about it. Be forthright. Be authentic. You know, you might just be shocked at how clients respond.
Yeah. And I think that similar to how a lot of our conversations on this podcast go, I think a lot of this dovetails to really basic things that you should be doing to put yourself out there in a way that is professional. I mean, it links back to your website and your portfolio and the ways that you talk about your services. And then obviously, when you're first doing your intake with a client, that engagement is a huge opportunity for you to be able to help them really understand, you know, okay, I'm going to listen to you. I'm going to hear what you have to say. I'm going to try to understand what it is that you're looking for me. But then I'm going to give you some information that helps you understand, you know, this is how we approach a project like this. You know, this is what our process is going to look like. You know, I'm not waxing on poetic for an hour necessarily, but I'm giving them a lot of the basic kind of tips and tricks to understand, you know, this is how we handle a consult meeting. These are the type of things that we're going to talk about. This is what you're going to see in our scope of work when we present it to you. This is how you find out how much we charge. And this is why we structure our business this way. You know, I can think of many times being at consult meetings with you even, Cheryl, and, you know, people asking about, you know, well, what if I, you know, what if I don't like the lines that you have? Or what if, you know, what if I'm not sure about the spending and maybe I want to do my own shopping or whatever? Right. And we address that right up front, because again, it's disingenuous to the client to get engaged in a situation where they're going to think one thing when really the way we operate is another. It puts us in a terrible spot. It certainly doesn't give us a good position when it comes to how we're perceived in the industry when people then aren't happy and potentially say something. So you have to be really grounded in that. And I think that a lot of it is logic. I mean, again, a lot of it really does boil down to understanding, you know, you're trying to offer a premium service to people who really do need help. And for them to understand what is required for that to happen, they have to understand that this is not about a shopping experience. This is not about them going in and you know, double checking all the pricing and all that type of thing. That's not what the focus is. And if you can establish that early on, I don't think that these type of things would come up. I really don't.
Right. I don't think we're a used car salesman thing, you know, a used car lot or whatever. I haven't looked at a car in so long. I don't even know how they do it anymore. But I'm just saying, you know, from the old days, you know, we're not putting somebody in the box and trying to trick them into, you know, well, what do you want your payment to be? And, you know, and all those kinds of things. That's just not what we need to do. And I really think that when you feel like you have to resort to some kind of trickery to get what you need, the reality check here is this is not what is wrong with your business. This is not what is wrong. It is something else. And a one-off here and there, yeah, you know, maybe something like that happens. You know, somebody squeaks by that's not the right client for you or whatever, and you dispatch with it, you know, very easily. But being afraid and operating from that place of fear is just not the place to be. And if you can't figure out how to make a profit on products and do well and make it a win-win for you and your client, you know, that where they're getting, you know, what they need and getting what, you know, your value out of it and all of that, and still telling them that you're paying, you know, $150-$250 an hour design, and then you won't send them a photo of something on a storyboard. Okay, so it's like, oh, disconnect there. You know, like you're not wanting to do that, but yet you're charging all this money. I think that the best course of action in that case is not to sell product at all and just stick to a fee-based business. And there is nothing wrong with that. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, I think in some, you know, some areas that that's probably a lot easier, probably less stress, less hassle in some ways. And for somebody who is a solopreneur, I think you can make a great living doing that. I really do, especially if you're good at what you do. But the products that go into a home are just the ingredients of the recipe. That's all. It's not a fabulous dish without putting all the ingredients together in the right manner with the right dash of this and the dash of that, or, you know, whatever the case may be. That's what's putting it together. So I'm not worried about somebody replicating, you know, my design work for sure. And if I'm worried about somebody, you know, looking at a price, I mean, well, you know, welcome to the world. I mean, that is just something that may happen. But the way to combat that is not by saying I'm not going to send them this, because that's not a framework for a business, you know? And I think, like Liz is saying, you just, there's been something amiss on the front end if that happens, you know? It's the communication, setting the right expectations, and also how you see yourself. Okay, how you see yourself. This concern makes me think there are ways, other ways a designer is setting themselves up to be seen as a shopper or a designer. Like, you know, and that's what I'm saying. This is that there's something else going on here. There's something else. This is just like maybe a symptom or whatever. And I think this is an epidemic right now in the industry because people have caught this disease, but they don't see their own symptoms. And I know that because when I talk about the package, you know, not saying that package, you know, I know that there's been some notable changes from some people that at first said, oh, that's silly, Cheryl, blah, blah, blah. When I talked about this 5 years ago, when I first started the group, that now mysteriously do not have package anywhere on their website, you know? And if you do right now, then I think you need to take package off, because package is one of those little things, those marketing optics that is setting people up to see you in a different way than you really want to be seen. And we can't cover all of that here. We this will be a thread through, you know, all the podcasts, but this is the epidemic I see right now. And the problem is that people don't see their own symptoms of all of this.
Yeah. I think too, that there's, you know, so many, we were just talking about this, but it's like, you want to set a good precedent, right? Like you want to be establishing the fact that like you're a professional in this industry. And I think that when you look at the different ways that people can engage with design-oriented services, there are a lot of other products out there on the market that are not comparable, but that do cater to a certain mentality that is not the type of thing that is the focus when you're working with someone in a full service capacity. So right. It's really being able to understand and explain all these deliverables and all these things that your portfolio demonstrates that show what it is that they're really investing in, show what that value is of having a broader perspective and not just working from a shopping list. Those are the kind of things that, again, people's perception sometimes has to be adjusted on the front end to be able to get to a productive method for you to be able to work with them. Sometimes you hit it and sometimes you realize that like, oh, this isn't really going to work out, you know, okay, well, you know, we're not for you. And this might not be the best, right. You know, most suited
or you have a different
service.
Product. Right. Exactly. Or you have a different product for a price shopper, you know, someone that you perceive to be that way. But you have to get educated more and really bring your own level of skills up to be able to determine that up front, you know, what kind of right. of. Person this is, and then how to do that. We talk a lot about this in TDP and really throughout the whole entire program. This is sort of a thread because a lot of these things are very important, you know, and the right. elephant in the room is if you're worried about making a profit on products, maybe it's time to reevaluate your pricing strategy. You know, maybe yeah. your approach needs some work, right? I mean, so what can you do instead? I mean, there, you know, in terms of this very specific, you know, issue, other than the things we've talked about here and the overarching, you know, problems that maybe this is a symptom of, you know, not necessarily the problem itself, but some things, you know, you can private label for real. I mean, get deck labels and use them. So get with a vendor in North Carolina, can build your designs and upholstery. If you're in a market that really this is a big problem in, do that. You know, make it real. Then you never have to worry about any of this. You know, we have the cloth labels. There is a company that you can get them from. And if I have the presence of mind, I'll try to put it into the notes here, the podcast notes. But private labeling is real. I mean, we do that with some of our entry level like pricing. We do that. Yeah. You know, custom pieces and we, you know, and we're private labeling them because they are not selling direct and all that. So you can do that. Take that label off of whoever you want. If that's like that big of a deal, you know, for you, and you can do that, but you can't do that with everything. You can't do it with case goods. You can't do it with every single thing. And it's just silly to try because I mean, if I was your client, I'd be like, what? it? I mean, that is just, don't tell me that. You know, and then also you can go to true trade centers where they have lines not available even in retail stores. You know, that's a possibility. But even then, I wouldn't have a problem telling somebody, you know, it's, you know, Holly Hunt or whatever. I mean, that you're getting the value of associating with that brand. You know, do you realize that? I mean, that's part of the whole deal is that we put our lines in our client introduction. We list all the lines that we deal with. Why is that? Because they're great lines. And I want people to know that we have also the breadth of from low to high. I don't want clients thinking we're all low because we're not. I don't want clients thinking we're all high because we're not. So we put the vendors in there because we have a relationship with them. It's a good thing, but you have to be able to run your business right to be able to do that. So that's why it kind of perplexes me when people don't want to give that vendor out. And you know, also do a better job finding the right client for you. If you deal with this a lot, then something is not right with your client picker. You know, that little client picker, you know, button that you have. I mean, something's not quite right with that. And you need to think about that and you know, work on that. And ultimately, stop with the fear. You know, own your value. Show this value to clients like Liz is talking about. And they're not going to worry about saving $5 on a dang lamp, okay? I mean, that's one of my standard things I say in initial consults about things like this. Like, look, I'm not saying that we're, you know, not going to, that a lamp on eBay is not going to be $5 less than what we present to you. But overall, we're very competitive and we are because my philosophy is to make it a win-win for clients. Right. I want the right client and they are going to pay us handsomely because we are not cheap. But I'm telling you, I want it to be a win-win for them. And so you have to figure out how to do that. You have to write that at the top of a piece of paper and say, how can I make this a win-win for myself and the client? And then list all the ideas out like that. I don't know. Do you have anything else to add to that? What else can be done or anything else before we get to the damn good truth, Liz?
I think the one thing I'll add is just the fact that if there are things like this, things that cause you stress or fear or anxiety when it comes to interacting with a client or the way your services are set up or whatever, I think those are the things to key in on and to identify as there has to be a process or a step in my path that I take to get from point A to point B with a client that has to be readdressed. Because I think that if you do run a good ship and if the business ultimately is set up in a way that is truly catering to a good service, I think that you can operate without a lot of that. I think that the fears, you know, outside of the scary things that subs might do on a job site, you know, really can be alleviated in a lot of ways. But you have to have that reflection. I mean, again, and I say that because Cheryl holds us to a high standard with that, you know, in all of our internal processes and making sure that every time we have a discovery call, those things are addressed. It is very important for that to be very, very clear to people so that there's no surprises. And to reevaluate.
Right. Well, you just took part of my damn good truth, but here's our damn good truth for today. That's quite all right, because it's a good message to put out there. Pause and evaluate everything you are doing in your business. Detach yourself for a second and look dispassionately and put your analyzing hat on. I mean, really, you have to get out of your own body for a minute and look at it and look at what you're doing. Are you encouraging a client to view you as a shopper and not a designer? Are you unintentionally cultivating price shoppers and not those looking for the value of your creativity? If you are charging by the hour, selling packages, and not considering the optics of all these actions you take every day, then your mindset needs to be flipped on its hind end and be reconstructed. I promise you, this is the answer to a lot of the questions that come up. This is the answer to running a sustainable business for the long haul, for the long haul. Thank you guys for joining us today. Some tough love, I know, you know, but we're here for it and we are behind people. There is nobody you will find that is not some more supportive of small businesses than myself. And that's the truth. So I'm glad you're hanging in there. Hopefully you haven't disconnected already. And we really, really do appreciate you being here.
Bye, y'all.
Until next time, stay bold, stay inspired, and keep embracing your bag girl spirit. If you've enjoyed today's show, head over to join the community at damngooddesigner.com to continue the conversation and sign up for our newsletter.